And that also, and we're going to get to the issue of the patient who goes to the surgery first, but it also does bring in the issue of bevacizumab. In these patients who get neoadjuvant chemotherapy, let's say they're BRCA wild type, just to make it simple, in general, are all of them getting bevacizumab and bevacizumab maintenance post-op?
So at the moment, it's slightly complicated in the way in which it's available within the United Kingdom. That is with patients.
Yeah, maybe just is that, rather than whether this happens in the United Kingdom, more is that considered kind of the standard from your point of view, ideally, theoretically?
Okay, let us work to the European label of bevacizumab, which is for any patient who has stage 3A or greater disease. So in those patients, therefore, they would technically be able to have bevacizumab. I think the big question is it really of value, you know, and how much value? And is that value better than adding in a PARP inhibitor? So at the moment, we only have that information for patients with a BRCA mutation. And what we see when we look at the SOLO-1 data in terms of progression-free survival is just way different from what we see with bevacizumab. With few exceptions, I think generally what we would do with a patient who has a BRCA mutation, and that's why it's important to know this early on, is we would not give the patient bevacizumab, but that we would give them olaparib maintenance. When we see the results of PAOLA-1, of course, we may change our minds because we may see a benefit in both BRCA wild type and patients with a BRCA mutation, and that's on the back of bevacizumab. Now, the difficulty, of course, in PAOLA-1 is that no one has done a comparison of PARP inhibitor versus bevacizumab, because both arms of PAOLA-1 get bevacizumab. But we'll sort of have an idea of what happens in PRIMA, although the populations are different. The PRIMA populations are selected to be patients with a poor prognosis because they're patients who've got bulky residual disease or stage 4 disease. And so their expected rate of recurrence is going to be higher than it is in PAOLA-1. But no patients in PRIMA are getting bevacizumab. So there'll be some inferences that one can draw across the two trials, notwithstanding the fact that cross-trial comparison is quite a dangerous thing to do. But people will start, I think, then to make decisions about whether or not they should be or shouldn't be using bevacizumab so much in the first-line setting.